Well, good morning, Columbia Grove. I hope you had a fantastic Christmas and Happy New Year. Let's stand. We're going to sing an oldie, but a goodie. This is one you can get your hands clapping, your feet stomping. You could start your New Year's resolution of extra calisthenics right here, right now. Here we go. One, two, three. The thaw. There's a land that is fairer than today, and by faith we can see it far. For the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. Join together to sing. We sing these timeless truths. We sing these reminders of what our faith is all about. And this song is right at the core of that. It's based on John 3:16. God so loved the world. One, two.
Come all you say. Lord, we pray that in everything that is said and sung and done today, that we would remember your great love. And we would, and just like we've just sung, we would praise you from whom all blessings flow. And thank you that all blessings do flow from you and through you and by you. And so we just invite your spirit to have its way today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, good morning. You have a seat for a sec. My name's Andrew. If we haven't met yet, Good to have you here. Good to have you here. And so I hope you make yourself at home and just enjoy the Lord today. I should mention that this is, for those of you that are giving towards our Christmas offering or looking to do a year-end gift, some of you do, and that there's some offering baskets in the back. Some of you are already in the habit of putting loose change in there, and that is a good thing. It's a little tough on our counters sometimes, but it is an extremely good thing because you know, every little bit helps, and every act of generosity is something that honors God. But speaking of honoring God, we want to pray for our kids as they get ready to head off to Children's Church. Marsha, wave your hand in the back there, Marsha. Marsha and her A team have got some fantastic activities for our kids so they can just enjoy the Lord even as we are worshiping all together. So let's just pray for our kids. God, thanks for our kids, and God, we pray that you would just bless them today in everything that they're doing. Lord, may their time in Children's Church be something that not only just is fun, but God, that you would touch their hearts. Thank you that you have something to say to every person at every age. And so, Lord, we just want to commit them to you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Well, while our kids are getting settled, and it looks like some kids are, take a few moments and greet one another. You can give them a fist bump. You can just wave at them from a distance. Whatever is going to be the most appropriate greeting. And we'll put a few social media greetings up on the screen as well. I know folks are joining us from all around the wherever. We'll get back into singing in, about 30 seconds. You know, sometimes as we gather to remind each other of these timeless truths. Sometimes we sing songs that we kind of sing to each other. This song isn't really one of those, but it is a song that is very much about community. It's about what it means for us together as a church family to call out to God And if you've been in the Columbia Grove community for a while, you'll know this is actually kind of a song that comes right back to our founding, actually. It's been with us for a long time. So it's actually an original. It's of the various Columbia Grove songs that are out there and floating around, this is the one that the most number of churches around the world are singing. But it's a really, really simple prayer. Lord, give us eyes that we might see you. Lord, give us ears that we might hear. So invite us to stand and let's join together in this prayer. Lord, give us eyes that we might see you. Lord, give us ears that we might hear. Oh, Lord, give us hearts that we might love you. To walk in your ways, know you are near. Let's sing that again. Lord, give us eyes. Lord, give us sight that we might see you. Lord, give us strength that we might hear. Lord, give us hearts. Lord, give us.
We must see you.
To invite, and please have a seat. I'd like to invite Sue Kane to come forward and to lead us in the congregational prayer. There's a microphone right there for you. I love how each week we have a chance to hear from different parts of the body. Nah, you need to go into the light. They, otherwise they can't see you, you see. It's okay. So,
am I on?
I'm on. All right.
Dear Lord, your word says that when we wait on you, you will renew our strength. Our strength is depleted right now, but we know that in you, we can find rest and recharge. We want to thank you for protection and the healing that you continue to provide Brant Capel as he continues to recover from a heart transplant. And we ask for comfort and healing for Richard Olson's back, and also pray for Richard's brother who's recovering from heart surgery. We pray with Walt and Islet Ness for their nephew Doug, who has Guillain-Barré syndrome. We are so grateful that you hear our prayers and that we can come to you with these requests. And Father, thank you for hope. Thank you for its light in the darkness, and that no matter how dark the night, you are with us. We want to pray for the families who are evacuated from their homes in Colorado this week. Father, we're so grateful for your protection and provisions, and we need your help right now. Please unite the churches and bring people together as they care for so many who are displaced and feeling profound losses of their homes and businesses. Thank you for that you are with us in these moments of uncertainty and loss. Thank you for Jesus being our Emmanuel, our God with us. And Father, there's a lot of things vying for our attention right now, a lot of tasks to complete, people to see, activities to do, and anxious thoughts that can come in all too loud at the start of a new year. Lord, when we feel the weight of all the things we're carrying, remind us that you carefully hold us, our loved ones, our dreams, and anything else in our care in your hands. You are infinitely wise, resourceful, powerful, and loving, and you can take care of us and everything we care about. Please care for so many on the margins of society right now, the refugee, immigrant, hungry, persecuted, defenseless, and those without a warm place to call home. We pray for our government leaders, local, state, and national, for peace, wisdom, and discernment. We ask for the end of this pandemic, for healing for our loved ones who are sick, especially those who are hospitalized, and renewal for our weary medical workers on the front lines of care. We lift up the prayers of our congregation to you right now, whether out loud or silently. Lord, you are in control of what's happening, and we ask for peace to trust you. We know that nothing we are experiencing is a surprise to you. We give you our anxious thoughts. Take them, Lord. We accept your peace and love and understanding. Help us turn to you and be still and be humble and be filled with gratitude. Lord, the new year is here, one that has not yet been lived and is full of possibilities. Help us to live in each moment knowing you are there, that your Holy Spirit dwells in us, giving us comfort and guidance and direction. Fill us with love that casts out fear. Fill us with hope that endures. Fill us with strength when we are tired. Fill us with patience for our family, friends, and coworkers. Fill us with Jesus, who is all we need. Let us not lose heart, renew us each day. You continually make us new. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much, Sue. I'd like to invite Pastor Mark Benedim to give the message today. And not only am I grateful that you get to hear from him, because I just think he has a lifetime of wisdom and he has spoken very deeply into my life. I'm super grateful to have him preaching this week, which allowed me to have a very light week. So that was really nice. So for all of you who have ever had, who have enjoyed a week off, you know some of my joy and my gratitude, Mark, for having come to share. God bless you.
Thank you. Man, I'm glad to be home. We were in Phoenix and flew home on Christmas Day, and we got in just ahead of chaos. And we are so good. In fact, we were watching the Christmas Eve service on Christmas Eve in Phoenix online. And my heart was just filled with such longing to be with my family and my church family and to be with our kids as well. But it's good to be home. You probably don't know Wayne McLaren. But my guess is if you saw him, you would recognize him. For you see, Wayne McLaren became an iconic symbol of the rugged, independent American male. Sometime in the mid to late 20th century, and by looking at the audience, I think most of us know what that's talking about. He was a symbol of individualism, of independence, of self-confidence, and the American way. He was handsome. He was self-assured. He was the master of his own destiny, or at least that was the image that was projected. He embodied the lyrics to that famous Frank Sinatra song, "I Did It My Way." And though the 20th century is now 20 years in our rearview mirror, can you believe that? The 20th century is 20 years in our rearview mirror. The image and the myth that Wayne McLaren projected are every bit as strong today as they were then. For you see, Wayne McLaren was the Marlboro Man. He was the Marlboro Man. And I would venture to say that the myth of the Marlboro Man has shaped the American psyche for at least the past 150 years. It wasn't always the Marlboro Man, but it was this idea that this was an individual, a myth that disdained weakness, and it championed self-independence and self-reliance. It was a myth that championed what I would call radical individualism. Individualism that says, I can handle it. And if you're a male in the audience or you're online, my guess is you've said that more than a few times to your spouse or your friends. I can handle this. I got this. It is a myth that disdains weakness. And it proposes that the path to happiness and success is within you. It is appealing, it is powerful, and it's also dangerous. If the myth of the Marlboro Man had a warning label, it might go something like this. The great physician has determined that radical individualism is hazardous to your health. And I mean that literally, figuratively, and spiritually. Christians are not immune either to this myth. We have a tendency to slip into the mindset that says, well, you know, it's just me and Jesus. If I've got Jesus, I've got everything I need. And at one level, that's true when it comes to salvation. But it too easily becomes an excuse to not rely on anybody else for anything, if you can help it. Increasingly, we live isolated lives, and it's not just because of COVID, right? Technology has accelerated, I think, in many ways, our isolation. It's been good. I was able to watch Christmas Eve service from a hotel room in Phoenix, and was able to participate, at least at some level, with you all during that wonderful service. But at the same time, technology has isolated us. You probably have walked into a restaurant on more than one occasion and saw two or three people sitting around, or four people sitting around a table, and what were they doing? They weren't even looking at each other. They were talking to somebody that was maybe across town or across country. We shop online. We have Uber Eats, who delivers our food right to our door, and Amazon delivers everything anywhere. And all we got to do is click a button. Now, I hate to say this, but all this comes at a time when church attendance is becoming increasingly optional. It's nice, but it's not a necessity. Or at least we don't think so. I mean, we evangelicals, we emphasize the fact that it's a personal relationship with God is what we need, is that we have to have a personal relationship with God. And I believe that with all my heart. But the problem is that personal relationship with God can easily be turned into seeing our participation in a local congregation as a delivery system for religious goods and services. The church exists for moi. And we choose our churches because of that many times. Now, I'm not saying you do, or you at home that are listening do that, but the temptation to do that is very real. It's nice, but it's not necessary. And what I want us to look at this morning, honestly, is how differently the New Testament pictures the church. Because it wasn't an option when to profess your faith meant you might die. It was life itself. And my question for us is, how did we lose that? How did we get to this point where it's just nice? You know, and I go and see a lot of nice people, and they're all nice to each other. As we begin a new year, I'm not big on making resolutions, but I am big on reminders. And so this morning, I want to remind us, we need each other desperately. We need each other. Let that sink in. We need each other, people. And it's not just because it'll make me feel good. It's because it's the way God designed us to be. We need each other desperately. And so this morning, I want to remind us of the Declaration of Interdependence. And it's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And if you have your Bible, I'd invite you to turn there, because I want to give you three reminders this morning of how much we need each other. Nobody's going to get beat up this morning. I'm not going to be pointing fingers unless you want to point them at yourself. Because I don't know what your heart is. I don't know where you are. I just know what happens to me. And how easily isolation is at first comfortable, And then over time, it becomes the way we prefer to live until we need somebody. 1 Corinthians 12, Paul is talking about spiritual gifts and how the body is to work. You see, it was so important for the people in the New Testament to understand the role of the church is that he represents it with a human body. He represents it with a human body. And in 1 Corinthians 12, he reminds us of how that body is to work, and he declares very clearly how we need each other. And so as we begin this morning, I'm going to look at 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 and 13. I'm reading from the English Standard Version. You might have another version, but it'll be pretty close. And those verses read this as such. For just as the body is one, we are one, and has many members, all the members of the body, though many, are one body. And so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body, Jews, Greeks, slave or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. Paul is writing to a church that is racked with divisions. You think the church is divided over masks or politics. This was a church that was a mess. It was a mess. And he was addressing this issue of exalting certain gifts and diminishing other gifts. And there was this emphasis that these gifts are important, but these aren't important. And I'm here to tell you this morning that what Paul is saying is that they're all important. They're all important. This was a church that he's trying to remind them that they are one. And so the question becomes, what makes us one? What is our oneness about? Think of your own human body. I'm assuming everybody here has a human body. And your body is made up of all kinds of things. You've got nostrils. You got earlobes. You got ears. You got eyes. You got nose. You got tibias and fibulas. You've got all kinds of different muscle tissue, fat tissue, bone tissue, cartilage, organ tissues. And they are all different, aren't they? There are many. But what is really amazing in a healthy body is they all work together for a common purpose. They all work together. And what he's drawing out for us is this idea, what is it that unites all the parts of the body? What is it that is in you, that is in every part of you? And I would say that in every cell of your body, it's your DNA. You have in every single cell, no matter how different it is, a DNA. And what is the DNA of a Christian and the body of Christ? He tells us it is that we have one Spirit who placed us into the body by His working. God uses the Spirit of God. He put us into the body of Christ, and every Christian has the Holy Spirit, period. Now, we don't all use it at the same degree, but we all have the same Spirit, and that's his point. We're many members, but we all have one Spirit. We have one thing that unites us, that we are all baptized into Jesus' body, Jews, Greeks, slaves, free, whatever, and we are all made to drink of one Spirit. Jesus said in John chapter 37, or John chapter 7, verse 37 and for 38, he says, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, men and women, that is the basis of salvation, period. Do you believe in Jesus? Do you trust Jesus for your salvation? Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Now, this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for yet as the Spirit had not yet been given at this point in Jesus' ministry. Later on in the book of Romans, the Apostle Paul says to individual Christians in Romans chapter 8, he says, you, however, you Christians, are not in the flesh. That is, you are not living in the fleshly nature. You are not dominated by your old nature. You are now in the Spirit. You are living in the realm of the Spirit where you have the Spirit of God in you. Anyone who does not have, he says, you, however, are in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. Don't let anybody tell you, as a believer, that you don't have the Spirit. If you are believing in Jesus, you're trusting in Jesus, you have the Spirit of God. He is the unifier. And so here's the first reminder. The reminder number one is that in the body of Christ, our unity is spiritual. It's not preferential. It's not the things I prefer. Now, there's lots of things I prefer. You know, I prefer black coffee to, you know, lattes. I prefer, you know, country music to heavy metal. I prefer almost anything compared to sparkling water. But our unity is not based on that. It's certainly not on our taste of music. It's not even in our theology, except for a few select common things. It's not in our political leaning. It's not in our medical views. It's not in our social class. It's not in our age. It's not in our race. It's not in our gender. It is the indwelling of the Spirit who placed us in the body of Christ, that we were saved by grace through faith, period. Okay? That's our unity. That's what brings us together. So our unity is spiritual. It's not preferential. Our difficulty is we like to hang out with people who like the same things we do, right? I mean, I like to hang out with bald guys and, yeah. and people who understand me, who like the same kind of humor I have. And it's just, we're different. I mean, I was just thinking when I was putting this sermon together that it was probably about 40 years ago. I can't believe that. 40 years ago, I was pastoring a church, and we were fighting what was called the worship wars. You probably may have remembered this. This is when, do we sing choruses or do we sing hymns? Do we sing choruses, praise choruses? Do we actually let a guitar and a drum set on the stage at the same time? Because, you know, the devil had all the good music. You probably remember that Larry Norman thing. And I was raised in that generation. I grew up on rock and roll. You know, I loved the Beach Boys and, you know, all the... I liked to move, you know, and stuff. And the thing was, I was on the side that says, you know, we got to sing a new song. The Psalms say we got to sing a new song. And they do, and we should. And we do. That's one of the beautiful things about Columbia Grove. We sing new songs all the time. And the issue that divided us was music. And I was like, so here's the kicker. We were in Phoenix visiting with some friends, and they were talking about some friends of theirs that were going to leave the church they were in. And they were my age, our age. They're roughly baby boomers or a little older maybe. And I'm sure that these were people that were on our side of the, you know, we got to sing a new song and we got to do this, you know, because that's the way it's supposed to be. And they were leaving the church. And I said, well, why are they leaving the church? And he said, because the music's too loud. The newbies became the oldies real fast. And if we let those things be the source of our unity, we're going to end up divided. It's not our our unity is spiritual. It's not preferential. And he goes on. He says that each of you, because of that, bring something to the table. Look at verse 21 or verse 14. He says, "For as the body does not consist of one member, but of many, if the foot should say, 'Because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not the eye, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less part of the body. And if the whole body were an eye," there's an image for you. You know, who's going to blink if everything's an eye? "I do not belong to the body. That would not make it any less part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? And if the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God has arranged the members of the body," here it comes, "each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body." He takes a lot to say this very same thing, and that is the second reminder, that our differences are intentional. They're not accidental. Diversity has become a four-letter word among evangelicals. Let's just be honest. But differences are a part of the way God designed us. And he uses this imagery of our gifts and how the body works, that we bring gifts to the table. They're necessary for the life in the body. I mean, you know, just picked up a wonderful Honeycrisp apple the other day. Oh, man, that's good. That's really good. But you know, if I try to talk and eat at the same time, it doesn't let the vocal cords work very well. And, you know, it works because why? Because this was made for this. I mean, if I looked at that and said, "Oh, that's a great apple," yeah. Not quite so much, you know? It could be a few minutes longer because I'm eating this apple here. No single part of the body can do everything. I don't care what part of the body you're talking about. No single part can do everything. That means that you have strengths and you have weaknesses. Because the strength of the mouth is different from the strength of the ear. In fact, you got to stop this to use this. We all have strengths and weaknesses. And what we bring to the table is that our recognizing that it's intentional that we have differences spiritually or in terms of our gifts, our temperament, our personality, so that there's this working together. You see, as I understand my strengths, what do? I can use them to serve my brothers and my sisters. But here's the flip side of that. You need to be willing to acknowledge your weaknesses so that your brothers and sisters can minister to you. Too many of us can't ask for help. As a man in this culture, to ask for help, I mean, just to ask directions on how to get somewhere, we think it's a sign of weakness. But we need to understand that we have these weaknesses so that the body can function, because our gifts that we were given by God to function for the body are designed not for me. My gift is designed for you. And your gift is designed for me and others in the body. It's the way, but it is in recognizing our weaknesses that we open the door and we give permission to people to use their gifts to help us. How easy is it to love somebody who says, "I don't need any help"? You got to open your hand. and ask for help. That's not weakness. That's just being wise. That's just understanding that you're not God. By the way, we need to understand that. There is a God. You're not Him. And neither am I. We need each other because we need help. Last summer, Ann and I moved. People say, what in the world? You moved here 2 years ago, you bought a house, and in less than 2 years you sold it, and you're moving to another house. And we needed help moving. Now, some people would have said, well, good luck. But you know what? There were people in this body that when we said, I know I may be abusing our friendship, but would you come and help us move? That's the test of whether somebody's really a friend, is when they come and help you move. And it's a test of your weakness because they got to carry your underwear drawer out to the truck, you know? But people showed up. People showed up from our pickleball group. People showed up that at the time I didn't even know them. But because they showed up and we rubbed shoulders together, we did get to know them. And the vast majority of those people were you here at Columbia Grove. See, that's the beauty of things, that the way He has designed. He says in 1 Corinthians that not all of you were of noble birth. Boy, that's for sure. 1 Corinthians 1, 26 and 27. He says, but God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even the things that are not, to bring nothing to the things that are. Why? So that no one will be able to boast. See, our weaknesses, men and women, are what draw us together, not our strengths. Our weaknesses, our willingness to acknowledge, I don't have it all together. I don't have it all together. Andrew doesn't have it all together. One of the things I love about our pastor is that he's so willing to say, I don't have it all together. Because that's what he's saying. What Paul's talking about is definitely not the Marlboro man. Listen again, if you think, oh, that's one off, listen to what he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7. He says, so to keep me from becoming conceited, you know where this is going, because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, what's that? That's his strength. God gave him these great revelations, and we are the benefactors of that. A thorn was given to me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. 3 times I pleaded to the Lord about this, that it would leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. He says, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Why? Because I'm not relying on myself. I am free to acknowledge I have weaknesses. And frankly, if there were there are probably things about any of us that if we knew about, we'd go, oh. But that's the way we come in the body of Christ. We come with strengths. We come with weaknesses. We come with gifts that we God intended for us to use to build up the body. But he also gave us weaknesses so that others in the body could use their strengths to encourage those without them. We see, when you admit your weaknesses, you give your brothers and sisters who have gifts of mercy, service, teaching, encouragement, shepherding, prophecy, tongues. I mean, there's lots of things that in the right moment we need from a brother or sister. And it's only when we acknowledge those weaknesses that they can use those gifts. Which is easier to love? This or this? Men and women, we got to rethink this. We got to rethink what it means to be a follower of Jesus in the world that we're living in. And every generation has to do it. Our unity in the body of Christ, our unity is spiritual. It's not preferential. In the body of Christ, our differences are intentional, not accidental. So it goes on, verse 21. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head of the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body, what we think is less honorable, we bestow greater honor. We bestow greater value to them. We protect them. We encourage them. And our unpresentable parts are treated with great modesty. That doesn't require any interpretation. Which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, we all suffer together. If one member is honored, we all rejoice together. There is this interdependent way of life that he's describing here. And so the third reminder is very simply this. His logic is crystal clear. Our life is found in mutual dependence, not primarily self-reliance. Now, is self-reliance a good thing? Sure it is. Is a certain level of independence a good thing? Yes, it is. But what I want us to understand is I think our culture has gone so far to the individual side that we have forgotten the value of community and how much we need each other. That's what I'm trying to address this morning. I mean, you might not think your toe is very important until you drop a hammer on it. Or you try to walk on it, and you can't. There are tiny little bones in your ears that you can barely see. In fact, you can't even see them from the outside. But if they weren't there and they weren't working, you couldn't hear a thing. They're even the smallest, even the things that we don't think are significant. I mean, the truth is, I can make, remember when you were a kid? Maybe you didn't. You might not have been a teenage boy. But one of the things that we liked to do in fifth grade is we'd put our hand under our armpit. And we'd make funny noises. Remember that? Well, you can use your armpit to sing along, but I doubt it's going to inspire you the way Heather does when she sings, right? Why? Because God made us that way. And it doesn't mean that my armpit is not important, though. I'm still working on trying to figure out what the armpit's for. Other than to humble me when it gets to smelling bad. We need each other because without the body, we may not realize the danger that we're in life. Because our individuality pushes us to extremes in ways that aren't always evident to us, but they're evident to everybody else. And that's why he says, when one suffers, we all suffer. When one suffers, we all suffer. I was doing some work on our house last fall, and I was chipping up tile. And I had protective on. I had protective on. I had protective on. I was covered. I thought, man, I'm good. And the next day, I woke up, and I thought, oh, man, it feels like there's something in my eye. And as the day went on, the night, and then the next day, I could barely stand to open my eye. Turned out, I had got an infection in my eye, on my cornea. Somehow, I must have rubbed my eye some way. I have never been in such pain. And you know what I did for 2 days? I slept. Even after they gave me the antibiotics, thank God for antibiotics. Because when one suffers, we all suffer. Okay, so here's my point. In the body of Christ, our unity is spiritual. It's not preferential. Our differences are intentional, not accidental. And we find life in mutual dependence with one another, serving one another, living in community, accepting the help of others that we don't have, that we can't do. That's where we find life. That's the declaration of interdependence. See, Wayne McLaren was not the only Marlboro man. You may not have known that. He was just the last Marlboro man. Why? Because all the others except one, there was at least five, died prematurely of some kind of smoking-related disease. And this is, put it up there. There it is. There's Wayne McLaren and the Marlboro Man in the beginning and at the end of his life. See, the Marlboro Man myth is a lie. You cannot make it on your own. You need us. I need you. We need each other, warts and all. That's the way God's designed it. The idea that we can flourish apart from the body is just as deceptive as that. To cut oneself off from the body in the spiritual life is to let yourself shrivel up and die. So my question for us this morning as I close is, are you feeling alone today? Are you isolated? Are you disconnected? Are you feeling weak? Together, let's make 2022 the year that we declared our interdependence. I want to encourage you to find a group that you can connect with. A place, maybe it's a place you can serve. Maybe it's in a relationship. Maybe you can go to, with, if you're a guy, you can go hang out with Brian Adelman on Thursday mornings serving food to the guys and the people down at the lighthouse. Maybe it's if you're a woman, you get involved in some of the women's ministry stuff. There's a place that you can get connected, and that's what we want to encourage you, because we need each other, people. We need each other. We need each other. Why? Verse 27 says, now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. Let's say that together, only instead of you, we. Now we are the body of Christ and individually members of it. We need each other.
Thanks, Mark. We give him a hand or a foot, you know, maybe an ear, if that's the part of the body that you are, I'm not sure. Invite us to stand as we sing a song that is all about what it means to be blessing one another, that we are, believe it or not, a blessing to one another. So we'll sing these words a few times. Actually, why don't we sing it once, and then I'm going to have you turn to your neighbor, and we're going to sing it again that way, okay? The Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you and be gracious. Lord, turn his face toward you and give you peace. Okay, now you already know the song. I want you to face somebody else. You can kind of peer at the words over your good eye, whatever. But look at somebody as we're singing this song. If you're joining us online, look at somebody that's commenting and focusing on their little icon, their little face. And think about what it means to be a blessing to them. Let's sing it. Lord bless you and keep you, and make his face shine upon you, be gracious to you. Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. And so be it. Amen. Please have a seat.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Take out your communion packets. The ones that you received as you're coming through the door. Or if you're joining us from home, that you would find some bread, some juice, somewhere. This is something we do together. And actually, on that note, Pastor Mark, would you join behind the table just so we can do this together as well? We need each other more than we admit, more than we often know. In fact, I believe it's one of the ways that we are the most countercultural, have the potential to be the most countercultural if we would be people who could just embrace our interdependence. On the night when Jesus was betrayed, he took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples to eat, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body."
And then he took a cup, and he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This is a promise that your sin will never be used against you again. That's something that will never change. It is his promise to each of us."
That's why as often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death and his resurrection until he comes again, and he is coming again. So in these next moments, what I hope we might do for one another is that we would serve one another. Now, if you are with a family group and you want to swap packets, that's okay. But more than anything, what I hope we would do, and you can do this from a distance, you can do this online, you can do this just by making googly eyes at the person across the room from you if you need to, who, yes, we are family with one another, with them as well, is that as we partake, is that you would speak these words to one another. This is Christ's body given for you, Mark.
Christ's body given for you, Andrew.
Serve one another with these words. And this is Christ's blood. It's shed for you.
This is Christ's blood shed for you, dear brother.
Thank you, Lord, that you gave your body, that you shed your blood, so that our sins could be wiped clean. Thank you that with you we are part of your family, anticipating a future that your sacrifice purchased for us. Thank you for that blessing. As we close, I invite us to stand together, and we're going to say these words, say the words of the Lord's Prayer, this prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. Speak them out loud. Our Father. Whose Father? Is it just my Father? It's our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those that sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Let me turn it over to Pastor Paul.
Good morning, everybody, and Happy New Year. Go ahead and have a chair for just a brief minute. We'll have some closing announcements. It's January. We turn the calendar. So guess what? Winter connection groups are going to start the week of January 23rd. So if you have a group already, we'll be more than happy to start advertising it. If you'd like to host a group, see Pastor Andrew and myself, and we'll get that on the calendar as well. We're also going to be having meals on the Thursday nights during the connection group series as well. So fun time and a great fellowship for that. A week from Saturday, there will be a great event. Women's Fellowship event will be here in the Worship Center from 10 o'clock till noon on January the 15th. So plan on that, ladies of the church. It's kind of apropos that on our Facebook check-ins this month, it's for warm coats for children around the world that don't have a warm coat. If you don't know how to do a Facebook check-in, I'll be more than happy to show you. The least we can do in our warm coats, and I'm guessing furnaces in our homes that work, is something as simple as just saying that you're at Columbia Grove Covenant Church today, and what a blessing that is to some child around the world. Michelle would like to talk to us about the green bags.
Good morning. I remember the green bag this time. So they're out in the foyer. And I encourage you to grab one. Next week is our pickup date. And the next one after that is March 13th. And this sign up here has ideas if you think that you want to give it a look at, because not just macaroni and cheese and cereals needed. There's things like pet food, formula, shampoo and conditioner. Anyway, there's all kinds of ideas to put in these green bags. And one last thing is Karen Brugman, who I work with Green Bags, said, well, 2021 was a great year for our food distribution center and our community. You all brought in well over 20,000 pounds. Biggest numbers ever. And some offices were closed part of the year, so that means most of it came from homes like yours. You have all been so kind and generous with me this year. Thank you.
Yeah, give yourself a hand. That's fantastic. Let's close our service in prayer. Lord Jesus, as we just turn the calendar to a new month and a new year, I'm sure we'll each have positive things and also obstacles in this upcoming year. But no matter what the year 2022 holds, we know who holds the future. May each of you have an incredible week, this first full week in January. Always remember to love like Jesus. Depart in peace. Amen.
Lord, give kingdom.